In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. One of the most pressing and consistently urgent existential questions of our time, for both young and old alike, is your cell phone charged? Your cell phone charged. And a related question, do we have a connection? What's the password? If the first question caused some of you a moment of recurring anxiety, I apologize. For others, the question was less jolting because, oh yes, it's a matter of ritual, keeping the cell phone charged. There's a certain place in the home where you go and plug in. Yes, it's a matter of ritual. Interesting. In the doctor's office this week, there was something new. In the sink cabinet, over in the corner, there were three cords coming out of the cabinet. With the three, I guess, most popular, necessary charging connections there for whatever phone or device you might have, so you can get recharged or stay connected while you're having your blood pressure taken. Make sure your phone's in good shape. And for years now, we have had the colloquial expression to go and recharge your batteries, usually by a vacation or a weekend, a getaway or a retreat. We say, I'm going to recharge my batteries. And that was even before we really had batteries that needed recharging. Clergy as well have preached about keeping one's batteries charged or recharging one's batteries spiritually, of there being such a need, perhaps to the point of cliche. But it certainly is a useful analogy more than ever. We are now so steadfast in the routine of keeping our technology up, of maintaining our connection, that it's required of us to keep a steady vigilance, a consistency of approach to our technical devices, to avoid the dreaded phrase, "My phone is dead." Oh no, I'm so sorry, when did it happen? See, how can a priest resist the temptation to draw the connection from technology to spirituality? How many days can you go without charging your phone? How many days can you go without praying? How many days can you go without prayer? How many days can you go without a connection? How long can you go without church? How long can you go without the sacraments? Of course, the spiritual connections require much more of us, of who we are, of personal energy, than simply plugging in a device. We can't plug in our prayer quite the same way, though a prayer works pretty well. However, the matter of consistency and ritual allows us to stay connected, in both worlds. And there are indeed at least two worlds, or three, vying for our attention and commitment. The world of technology, of virtual reality, then the world of the spirit, of spiritual reality, and then the actual daily world in which we physically, biologically function. And ideally, the goal is for the spiritual to pervade and envelop our ordinary daily life and our technological world. And there are certainly a lot of great Orthodox resources available to us on the internet, and a wealth of knowledge in general, the world at our fingertips. But of course, there's another side. There's another side to the technology. Simply put, that opens us to a darker and ugly world, a dark and ugly world that wants to put its hook into us and set its claws into our mind and soul and to spoil all that is good and holy about our life. To contaminate our soul and corrupt our minds. We are the people who sat in darkness and who have seen great light, as we heard in the gospel. And we are, each one of us, given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, as we heard in our epistle. We ask the Lord in the morning prayers from the prayer book to enlighten my understanding and my heart, and to open our lips to praise and to sing the holy, holy, holy with the angels. We are asking thereby to be a part of that world, to be a part of that world of glory, that world of glory where God is continually praised and glorified, to want to stay plugged in to that world of grace and truth and holiness, to be vigilant to stay connected each day to the power source of God's kingdom, that our mind and understanding would indeed be enlightened and not darkened. As we read further in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, which follows this morning's reading, St. Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." St. Paul is saying, here's how most live, with their understanding darkened, their life alienated from the life of God, and therefore all they have are the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. He says to the Christians in Ephesus, "But ye have not so learned Christ, for so be ye that have heard him, have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Brothers and sisters, as important as our technology is to us, there is no device made that can enable us to put off the old man, which is corrupt through the deceitful lusts, and to put on the new man in Christ, created in righteousness and true holiness, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's no device that can renew your mind. That requires a different connection, but one that is vitally important and worth maintaining with all vigilance and consistency and determination, as we heard it in our epistle this morning, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ.